Well, good morning again. All right. Title of today's message is Allow God to Do Weird Things to Reach People, because He will do it. What we see as just unusual is usual to God. If you have your Bibles, please turn to the book of Acts. We're going to start in chapter 19. But I'm going to start with a story. One day, a Sunday school teacher said, "Okay, kids, what do we say when we do something wrong?" And without missing a beat, little Johnny says, "Blame Satan." Well, the teacher laughed, but Johnny continued, "Because last time I said it was my fault, I lost tablet time. Now I just say Satan made me do it, and Mom gets mad at Satan instead." Johnny's theology may be a bit sketchy, but he's got some good survival instincts, don't you think? All right. We're back in the book of Acts, and we're going to talk a little bit about what's going on there. But Luke was the writer of Acts, and he was a physician. He was a travel companion of the Apostle Paul. And the earliest possible date of Acts is immediately after the events that Luke recorded, which would have been circa A.D. 62. Acts chapter 19, verse 8. "And he went into the synagogue and spoke boldly for 3 months, reasoning and persuading concerning the things of the kingdom of God. But when some were hardened and did not believe, but spoke evil of the way before the multitude, he departed from them and withdrew the disciples, reasoning daily in the school of Tyrannus. And this continued for 2 years, so that all who dwelt in Asia heard the word of the Lord Jesus, both Jews and Greeks. Now God worked unusual miracles by the hands of Paul, so that even handkerchiefs or aprons were brought from his body to the sick, and the diseases left them, and the evil spirits went out of them. Then some of the itinerant Jewish exorcists took it upon themselves to call the name of the Lord Jesus over those who had evil spirits, saying, 'We exorcise you by the Jesus whom Paul preaches.' And also there were 7 sons of Sceva, a Jewish chief priest, who did so. And the evil spirit answered and said, 'Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are you?' And then the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them, overpowered them, and prevailed against them, so that they fled out of the house naked and wounded. And this became known both to all Jews and Greeks dwelling in Ephesus, and fear fell on them all, and the name of the Lord was magnified. And many who had believed came confessing and telling their deeds. And also many of those who had practiced magic brought their books together and burned them in the sight of all. And they counted up the value of them, and it totaled 50,000 pieces of silver. So the word of the Lord grew mightily and prevailed." Let's pray. Lord, as we come to this text this morning, we ask that you would open our hearts and minds that we may receive from you, that you may challenge us, that you may change us. Lord, we don't want to be the same as when we came, in Jesus' name. We want to be different. We want to be world changers, world shakers. Lord, we want to make you known and make much of you. And we love you, Jesus. And Lord, we pray not only for ourselves, but those that you're calling to the kingdom, those that you're calling us to witness to, those that you're calling us to see come to you. And we pray, Lord, for those that you're calling to this church from the north, the south, the east, and the west that are not here yet, but will be here one day. We ask, Lord, that you would fill each and every person. You have a person for each and every pew. And we thank you for that, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. To be used by Jesus We must radically amputate sin from our lives. We've got to be creative, and we've got to let God use the weird things to reach people. First of all, we need to be creative when we share the gospel. 19, verse 8. Then Paul went to the synagogue and he preached boldly for the next 3 months, arguing persuasively about the kingdom of God. But some became stubborn, rejecting his message and publicly speaking against the way. So Paul left the synagogue and took the believers with him. Then he held daily discussions at the lecture hall of Tyrannus. And this went on for the next 2 years, so that people throughout the province of Asia, both Jews and Greeks, heard the word of the Lord. Here we see Paul starts out in the synagogue, and like he always does, and for 3 months he argues about Jesus. He throws Jesus out there, and he speaks persuasively about the kingdom of God. He talks about Jesus as he was given opportunity. And of course, he follows his usual pattern. He goes to the Jews first and then the Gentiles, which we've seen over and over again. And this is seen more clearly here in this section of Scripture than in any other, in my opinion. So Paul preaches for 3 months, but some people, you know what they did? They hardened their hearts, and they spoke poorly about the Christians. By the way, that term there, the way, was how people referred to Christians at this time, because they weren't called Christians yet. They were called followers of the way. And now during this 3 months, God is gracious and he adds to the church. But when the controversy happens and his message is rejected, he leaves, taking all the believers with him. And now Paul meets in a public lecture hall. And these halls were used by philosophers to teach their messages, usually between the hours of sunrise and 11 a.m. Most workers during this time period would have break time between 11 and 4 in the heat of the day. Now, wouldn't that be interesting today if your lunch break lasted 11 to 4? That'd be a long lunch break. That'd be nappy time. So more than likely what Paul would do is he would take this opportunity when no one's really working, and he would teach during that time frame in the lecture hall of Tyrannus. And Paul did this every day for about 2 years. And he did this so that people would hear God's word. And this became such a great way to reach people that the Bible says a lot of people throughout the province of Asia, both Jews and Greeks, heard the word of the Lord. Now notice that Paul found a time when he could reach people and when he could teach the most of the people. And he used that time to preach and teach the scriptures that related to Jesus. That's a creative way to do it, because most people were taking a break from their labor during that time and had nothing else better to do other than take a nap. You know, we need to be creative in reaching people for Jesus. We all do. I'd like to challenge you this morning. What can we do, what can you do as a body of believers to reach the lost in your community, to reach your neighbors? What can you do that no one else is really doing? And when people think of this church and our community, what do they say about us? What can they say about us? What do you want to be known for? That's the question I'm asking you. What do you want to be known for? You know, a church in a busy urban area held a free car wash once to provide a service and connect with the community as they washed these cars. They took the opportunity to share their stories of faith and to listen to the stories of the people they served. And this simple act of kindness opened more conversations than a traditional evangelistic meeting. I did this once at a church that I was pastoring at, and we got people you wouldn't believe that just pull in. We didn't charge them a thing, and we got to share Jesus with them. You know, another example, in a small town, a pastor decided to get pretty creative with outreach, and he organized a community art project. And people of all ages came together to create a mural depicting the story of the Good Samaritan. And as they painted, conversations happened and relationships were built. And that mural not only beautified the town, but served as a reminder of God's love and service that effectively reached the lost through art and community. These are just a couple of ways that some churches have done these things. What can we do? What can we do as a body of believers? What can we do individually? Because we are the church. You know, a lot of times we say the church is that building down there. And it's not. The church is the body of believers that inhabit that building, that use that building. What can we do as a church, as a people, to reach other people around us? I want you to be praying on that, because we're going to revisit that one Sunday morning before service, and we're going to go through some ideas and to see what we can come up with, probably in a couple of weeks. Actually, we got breakfast coming up at the end of the month, so it'll be right after breakfast. So come for breakfast, and that's when we'll discuss it. Number two, let God use the weird things to reach people. Now, I chose my wording carefully there. Some people may take offense when I say weird. I'd say unusual things, but that's okay. Acts chapter 19, verse 11 says, God gave Paul the power to perform unusual miracles. When handkerchiefs or aprons that had merely touched his skin were placed on sick people, they were healed of their diseases. And evil spirits were expelled. And a group of Jews was traveling from town to town, casting out evil spirits, and they tried to use the name of the Lord Jesus in their incantation, saying, I command you in the name of Jesus, whom that guy Paul preaches, to come out. You know, during this time, Paul is given power by God to perform some unusual things. Now, notice that today there are some false teachers out there who are trying to recreate these miracles. Usually, they do it for a large donation. However, the Scripture tells us that's wrong. In Matthew chapter 10, verse 7, it says, Go and announce to them that the kingdom of heaven is near. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cure those with leprosy, and cast out demons. And this is the part. Give as freely as you have received. Freely you have received, freely you must give. Nowhere in Scripture do we find God doing miracles for money. If someone tells you they can get you a miracle from God for a certain amount of money, I want you to put a hand over your wallet, because if they'll lie to you, they'll steal from you too. The word unusual means that these miracles were not normative. They are not normal. Even for miracles, they aren't normally the way God does things or has been doing things throughout church history up to this point. But He chose to do these things anyway. People would have handkerchiefs or aprons that had touched Paul's skin and placed on the demon-possessed and the sick, and the demon was cast out and the people were healed. That's a really unusual way for things to happen. God can sometimes use the most strangest of things to reach people. Now notice this as well. We've got this little interjection right after that. And it says that some of the Jewish exorcists saw how powerful and how simple invoking the name of Jesus could be to cast out demons. So they went around casting them out while using the name of Jesus that Paul preaches. They didn't know Jesus, but they used His name anyway. You know, we always say there's power in the name of Jesus, but that really only applies to those who are believers or are becoming believers, not the unsaved, as we'll see in a minute. You know, I remember when the internet was in its infancy. How many of y'all remember that? Dial-up modems and made that nice sound. I'm not going to pretend to make the sound, but you know what I'm talking about. And you'd get on, and I would use a chat room. It was brand new. People were just getting microphones and things of that nature hooked up to their computer. And of course, me being me at the time, I had to have one just because it was new. And at that time, there was this community that was for gaming, people who were gamers. Now, I've never been much of a gamer. You can ask my son. I'm bad at it. Okay, just not good at it. But I enjoy it, I'm just not good at it, so I don't do it very much. Don't have time, really. But at this time, there were these chat rooms that you could create. So I created a chat room. And I called it Christians. And guess what? I had people from Canada come in. I had people from the United States come in. I had people from Europe come in, mostly the UK and Ireland. And they would come in, and you know what we talked about? We talked about Jesus. No one was doing it at that time, so I ended up preaching and teaching people around the world. And that was considered very unusual at the time because nobody was doing it. But guess what? It worked. I saw people saved. I saw people grow in their relationship with Christ. And I was a young man at that time. And as God's power went forth and His message went forth, you know, that's considered an unusual thing. We need to find where God is working and jump on in. What does He want to do? Well, we're going to jump on in. Now, if we're going to be effective in this, if we're going to be used to our uttermost by God, we need to radically amputate sin from our lives. We need to radically amputate sin from our lives. Look at Acts chapter 19, verse 14. The sons of Sceva, they were sons of a leading priest, and they were doing this. They were going around using the name of Jesus, but one time when they tried it, the evil spirit replied, "I know Jesus. I know Paul. Who are you?" And then the man with the evil spirit leapt on them and overpowered them and attacked them with such violence that they fled from the house naked and battered. And the story of what happened spread quickly all through Ephesus to Jews and Greeks alike. And a solemn fear descended on the city, and the name of the Lord Jesus was greatly honored. And many who became believers confessed their sinful practices. A number of them who had been practicing sorcery brought their incantation books and burned them at a public bonfire, and the value of the books was several million dollars. That's in today's money. So the message about the Lord spread widely and had a powerful effect. So here you've got these seven sons of Sceva, and they're going around and doing the same thing, but only this one time, a demon-possessed man, he pointed out that he knew of Jesus and Paul, but he didn't know them. In other words, he knew the power of Jesus, and he knew Paul walked with Jesus, but they weren't saved, so they had no authority over the demons. And the demon was so violent that they ran from the house naked and beat up. Could you imagine that? Let me tell you something. Supernatural power is real. It's not like what Hollywood portrays, but it is real. If you don't know Jesus, you don't go fooling around with it because it's a losing proposition for you. You need to know Jesus. As believers, when it comes up, or demons come up, or supernatural power comes up, we're called to deal with it. Trust me, it comes up. It seems like every once in a while as a pastor, it comes up and I have to deal with it, and I've done it in the past many times. Let me reiterate, don't go looking for a fight. But when one comes, you let the authority of Jesus that's in the believer finish it, because our foe is a foe without teeth. Jesus defeated him at the cross. Now this story gets around Ephesus of what happened, and it brings praise to the power in the name of Jesus. Paul's miracles are getting around, and people are being converted. There were a lot of people who were into sorcery, and they had books, and they burned them. This was no joke. Remember, books were expensive at this time because they had to be hand copied. The printing press wasn't invented yet. That wasn't invented until, I believe, the 1400s. So the cost of these books were high. But rather than resell them and pass them on to other people, to the devil's works, to other people, and these sinful practices that are found in them, they got rid of them. They burned them. They utterly eradicated the sin from their lives. They couldn't even be tempted to pick them up again because they didn't leave them in their house. They got rid of it. Matthew 5:29 says, "So if your eye, even your good eye, causes you to lust, gouge it out and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to be thrown into hell. And if your hand, even your stronger hand, causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to be thrown into hell." Now, Jesus was using hyperbole here, but the point is radical amputation of sin. Get it out of your life when it comes up. If we want to be used by God, whether that's dealing with people, whether that's salvation matters or the supernatural, then we have to radically amputate sin from our lives. And we don't hear that enough. And maybe I don't preach that enough. But you got to get the sin out. Leviticus 11:44. Yes, I went to the Old Testament. Says, "For I am the Lord your God. You shall therefore consecrate yourselves, and you shall be holy, for I am holy. Neither shall you defile yourselves with any creeping thing that creeps on the earth." What does he say there? Be holy, for I am holy. We are called to be holy because God is holy. That's what he's called us to be. Let me give you a couple of examples. A young man once struggled with an accident that pulled him away from not just friends, but ultimately from God. He hit rock bottom, and he realized that his only option was to cut ties with the toxic influences in his life. Now, this meant severing some friendships. It meant getting rid of some habits that led him down the wrong path. And like the radical surgery Jesus spoke of, he confronted his sins head on. And the cost was high, but the life he gained was worth every painful step. In the ancient world, you know, a gardener who was caring for a vineyard, they would prune the branches, and sometimes they would cut them back, all the way even to the healthy ones. They'd cut some of the healthy ones back. Now, that seemed pretty harsh, but those cuttings allowed the plants to grow stronger and produce better fruit. In John 15:2, Jesus describes the Father as the gardener who prunes us. To radically amputate sin from our lives, it can be painful, yet it is essential for our spiritual growth and fruitfulness. We must radically amputate sin from our lives. Where is your temptation? If it's at the bar, let's say, then don't go to the bar. Make sense? Stay away from it. If you remember nothing today, remember this. To be used by Jesus, we must radically amputate sin from our lives. We must get creative. And we got to let God use the strange things to reach people. The unusual things to reach people. And the Bible says that we're an unusual people. So let's be unusual in reaching people. As a